This is TWiT.
I guess the internet is getting more explicitly political. China has proposed a wholesale revamp, which other authoritarian countries, including Iran, Russia, and Saudi Arabia, have vocally supported. So there's actually been dialogue about this. There's quite a lot of heated rhetoric surrounding the topic. And, you know, as with contact tracing, where it's complicated, the rhetoric and the technology might be quite different from one another. So in working to get a feel for what was actually going on, I started with a PowerPoint slide presentation I found, which had been, well, it had been given during one of the workshops and seminars conducted by the ITU, the International Telecommunications Union. And it was done by the main architect and mostly was sort of technological bullet points. It's not something anyone could implement anything from, but it's at exactly the right level to gain some overall understanding of sort of like what's the gist of this, which is, you know, my goal is to share that with our listeners. So for their key network technology requirements, they explained that they felt there was a need for more flexible, variable length IP addresses to adapt to diverse scenarios and to be backward compatible with IPv4 and IPv6. They also said support addressing and routing optimized based on communication entity semantics and something called digital twin relationships. Some time was spent talking about digital twins, but it was never very clear to me from the slides what they were. But also, they're also trying to support real-time, what they described as large flux communication in virtual physical fusion scenarios, combining ubiquitous AI theory, whatever any of that means. There's a lot of talk about the future need for truly massive bandwidth and guaranteed low latency in support of, and I'm not kidding, holographic transmission and applications such as telesurgery. They also want secure, reliable, and resilient connection among massive heterogeneous networks. You know, why not? And future network architectures supporting multi-ID space and these digital twin relationships. So one thing that I think caused the hairs to stand up on the back of some people's necks was something that this system incorporates called identity-based routing. That is, as opposed to IP-based routing. So it's one of the most interesting aspects of this, and I think it's, as I said, what I think frightens people. The slides explain, instead of mapping all information into network addresses, diverse IDs are used to indicate the destination, which improves routing capabilities, unquote. In other words, this system proposes that it would be possible to address a connection to an individual based upon some sort of identity descriptor and the network necessarily knowing where this individual is would route the connection to them. And of course, you can understand why that makes a lot of people uncomfortable. In order to do that, what you need to know, like where the person is. The slides explain packets are addressed by semantic content metadata, of which old-style IP addresses become a subclass. And examples of semantic content are given: content ID, device ID, people ID, and service ID. So, you know, things have identifiers, and you can say, I want this to go to this device or this person or this service, and somehow the network makes that happen. They suggest that this would enable network layer deterministic forwarding, rather than our current best effort forwarding, which of course is famously makes the internet go today.
Yeah. This is the antithesis of net neutrality. This is the exact opposite.
Yes.
Not all bits are not equal. Yes. All bits are unequal, and we can, you know, do what we want with them.
Yep. Some bits are better than others. Mm-hmm. And the overall global network would be redesigned with a sort of super QoS, that's my term, a super quality of service structure, which they assert will be needed to satisfy future scenarios. So the network's available transit bandwidth would be divided into slices, and they suggest some examples. An AR-VR slice would have low latency, less than 20 milliseconds. What they described as a self-driving slice, and I guess they mean autos, would have a latency much lower than that even, of less than 5 milliseconds. And then a teleprojection slice would offer jitter of under 50 microseconds, so extremely low jitter. So the idea being you can somehow ask for different network characteristics and get that from the network. And a lot of this they then pulled together on a slide titled End-to-End Communication Requirements for Intrinsic Security, which is where they sort of are the most clear, and it's kind of chilling. They have authenticity where they say more than one-third of autonomous domains right now, today, on today's internet, do not have prevention mechanisms for IP address spoofing. And so they don't like that. Accountability versus privacy. They talk about the trade-off. Exposing IP port and time to live on the wire decreases privacy, but anonymizing them decreases accountability. So they say IP headers design should take into account a trade-off between accountability and privacy, and you can kind of feel that they're willing to trade off accountability. That they're willing to trade away privacy for increased accountability. For confidentiality and integrity, they say the current key exchange mechanism has many vulnerabilities. What they described as intrinsic identity keys would be used, not relying on third parties. But there's no notion of how they pull that off. And then availability. Avoid the unavailability of target network resources, computing resources, storage resources, etc., caused by DDoS attacks. They don't like those. It is necessary to combine authenticity and accountability to build a multi-level verification filtering system for inter-domain and intra-domain traffic. So from this diagram, it's a intrinsic security for privacy protection in future networks. It's a diagram that's kind of like a beige background behind it and a blue box in the lower left. Anyway, they said, I'm saying, having looked at this diagram and studied it for a while, yep, that's the one, Leo. They said, the system encrypts the sender's IP and the sender's local IP. They are then authenticated along with the hosting network. The traffic moves to the autonomous system's edge router, and we know what that is from the last couple of weeks. We've been talking about BGP, and autonomous system is like an ISP, and they have an edge router that connects their whole subscriber big network to the internet backbone. So the traffic moves to the autonomous system's edge router, which adds, then this is all new, of course, well, all of this is new, an ASID, an autonomous system identifier, which is generated by an HMAC. The traffic traveling over the internet contains this ASID verifier, an encrypted an ID, and an encrypted IP. As the packet attempts to enter the destination autonomous system, the sender's ASID, that is the originating autonomous system ID, HMAC, is authenticated to permit it to enter. Then its content is made available and the destination address pieces are decrypted. And what's most creepy is in the flowchart diagram, there's this overriding auditing agent, which is never described. It appears across the top with dotted red lines flowing down to all of the key elements on both the both sides, and in a box with a legend describing some of the abbreviations, the dotted red line is labeled shut off protocol, with not much else said. Yeah.
Apparently, you need say no more, I think.
Yeah. Apparently, if the auditing agent is unhappy, that traffic does not flow. There's also ample attention paid to the needs imposed by holographic communication, which appears to literally mean the display of holograms. There's like a 3D body outline in one of the slides throughout the network. So they have ultra-high throughput, customizable priority and strategy, reduced complexity, I don't know how that happens, and interminacy.
Indeterminacy.
Thank you.
It's indeterminate.
Indeterminacy. We're reducing complexity and indeterminacy.
We don't want that.
We don't want lossy transmission to affect the quality of content. And basically, they're changing everything. And inherent network awareness. I don't think they like our autonomous packet routing approach because it's too indeterminate.
You have to feel like that the internet was designed exactly the opposite of this.
Yes.
For very specific and good reasons. And this just counters the whole thing.
Yes.
And who the hell's doing holographic communication anyway?
Yeah.
What are they talking about?
There was a sense that they were trying to use these really
It's the future things. Yes.
And then so we're going to have to change the plumbing.
Yes.
In order to support our future holograms, our holographic dictator.
Thank God we have holographic communications now.
Yeah. So anyway, that's a sense for what they're aiming at. The RIPE, which is the EU's Internet Governance Body, blogged about this proposal under the questioning title, "Do We Need a New IP?" That full blog post is long and winding, but the official response is short and to the point. Well, it's not quite as rude as saying no, but it's titled "Response to New IP Shaping Future Network Proposal." I've got the link to the PDF. It's only 2 pages. It reads, "During this group's last meeting in September 2019, a number of proponents introduced a proposal titled New IP Shaping Future Network, proposing what was described as an opportunity for a strategic transformation of the internet. The RIPE NCC appreciates the opportunity to respond to the proposal by means of this contribution. Since first being described in 1974, internet protocol architecture has totally transformed our societies and economies as the design philosophy of an open and flexible internet that has allowed for an unprecedented number of life-changing innovations. It is true that boosted by privatization and increased competition, these technological breakthroughs have also dramatically changed the telecommunications landscape. While it was once common to carry TCP/IP data streams across traditional PSTN infrastructure, those original telephone systems have now also evolved and are carried using the internet protocol." In other words, it sort of flipped it upside down. Throughout, instead of the TCP/IP being carried by the phone, now the phone is being carried by TCP/IP. Throughout its lifetime, the internet protocol has also adapted to accommodate changing requirements and new technological insights. The most noticeable and impactful change was the redesign toward IPv6 with its 128-bit address space to overcome scalability issues and support growth beyond expectations. We believe it is exactly that open and adaptable nature that not only of the technical architecture, but also the surrounding governance models that is fundamental to the internet's unprecedented success. Growing alongside its technical infrastructure, the internet's governance model has also evolved to include new stakeholders and accommodate innovations, unforeseen use cases, and unimagined growth as the internet became the fundamental technology powering our societies and economies. The open, inclusive, multi-stakeholder approach throughout its development, both in the technical forums that created its standards as well as the governance of its resources, has made the internet what it is today. While we recognize the need for both the technical standards as well as these governance models to continue evolving, we strongly believe such evolution should take place from within the organizations and structures that invented the internet and have supported its evolution throughout its history. We also strongly believe that any rationale for change must be carefully evaluated by all stakeholders in an open and transparent process to achieve consensus. The RIPE NCC is deeply concerned by what has been proposed here. We are especially concerned by the notion that this proposal represents an opportunity to steer away from the traditional bottom-up decision-making model. We also believe the technical rationale presented is flawed and find the suggested alternative designs to be both unrealistic and unproven. Furthermore, if any of the proposed solutions could be developed to a mature and production-ready standard, market adoption is very uncertain and would take decades to accomplish. The RIPE NCC is of the opinion that the proposal is premature and that following through with any of the suggested work would create significant overlap with the ongoing work of other stakeholders, in particular, that of the Internet Engineering Task Force. Although some of the issues mentioned may warrant further study, we insist that any work on the evolution of the IP protocol layers and the associated technical standards be left to the Internet Engineering Task Force and be conducted under its governance. The RIPE NCC recommends that TSAG and the ITU telecommunications standardization sector in general not make any of the suggested changes to its structure or pursue any work items related to this proposal that would evolve the internet protocol stack under the IE related to this proposal. Oh, that would evolve the internet protocol stack under the ITU's remit. In other words, hands off. So that's what they had to say, not surprisingly. This is interesting, I guess, from a sort of theoretical what-if model, and it sure did ruffle, as I said, a bunch of feathers. But it's clear that those of us who have some deep affection for the operation of today's internet, warts and all, have little to fear. Let's remember that we can't even get people to upgrade their version of TLS.
This would be a lot hairier. This would be a lot more. Yeah.
Oh, Leo, it breaks everything.
Yeah.
It would scrap the entire investment in all of everyone's existing internet network equipment. And I was thinking about, first of all, no one wants it. But if such a thing, maybe there would be a completely next generation thing once the holograms are, needing more bandwidth, demanding their own bandwidth. If such a thing should ever happen, first of all, it's a long ways off. And the only way I can see anything like that ever happening would be as an overlay of an entirely new next generation network, which would initially run in parallel and only in a few locations alongside today's internet. And it would gradually, maybe over time, eventually replace the older internet, which, come to think of it, is exactly the way the original internet was born. It was only connected a few things, and it, you know, didn't try to replace the telephone. And then it got bigger and it connected more and more places, and then it got more and more use, and it just sort of happened. So I could imagine some next net that would, you know, happen sort of the same way. It would just, you know, some people would start connecting things up, and other people would go, hey, we need to get one of those boxes if we want to play, you know, with those holograms.
Consider the holograms, my friend. Consider the poor holograms.